All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I'm Bobby Fenton. I'm back. I know it's been a little while since my last show, and I apologize to everybody for the way the frequency of the shows has dipped over the summer. I mean, we've always done a show every week, even in the off season, even in those times where there wasn't actual football going on. And obviously this summer has been a little bit different, and there's been, well, it's been a lot different, but the point is I'm still here. I want to get back to normal, and I'm hoping, as I know all of you are, that there is a normal schedule and the normal rhythm of things with football coming up, even though we know already it ain't going to look like how we're used to having it look, and there ain't going to be full stadiums and things like that. You know, I'm just hoping we get something going. And we very well may not, folks, and that's one of the things we're going to look at today. There are lots of things going on. You know, it got me thinking, like, what's happened to sports lately, and of course sports is not nearly the most important thing, but through this whole thing, I've realized how important sports are because I've been missing them and how much of the daily rhythms of my life are centered around it. And so here we are now, and, you know, they're going to try and get this hockey thing going soon. Baseball opening day is next week, assuming we get to it and everything holds the line like it's scheduled to do right now. And then you've got football, of course, on the horizon. And this is one of the only times I can remember, really, when all three of our Tampa Bay sports teams, if you're a fan of Tampa Bay sports, and if you're listening to this, you're at least a fan of the Bucks. But if you're a fan of Tampa Bay sports in general, you know, the Bucks, the Lightning, the Rays, I don't know if I remember a time when all three of them had such a positive outlook on their season. I certainly don't remember a time where all three of them had either the entire season or the most important part of their seasons all coming up at the same time. And again, that's a COVID thing because we got baseball starting next week, and it's only a couple months of the regular season, then we're right into the playoffs. We got the hockey playoffs starting in 2 weeks or so, a little more than 2 weeks. And then we got football supposed to be starting in a few weeks as well. So, like, all three of our teams are going to be getting going here soon if the line holds. And all three are supposed to be good. Like, can you remember ever thinking that all three of our teams have a chance to win the whole thing? And I'm not saying any one of them is even going to do that. The odds are against it. But the Bucks, the Lightning, the Rays, every one of them is at least considered a contender for a championship, whether it be a division championship or a conference or league championship or the whole thing. I mean, all three of them, you could say, hey, yeah, that's not completely unrealistic. And so that's really, really cool under normal circumstances. Yet here we are under anything but normal circumstances, and it doesn't feel as cool. Like, we should be way more excited about sports right now. And looking ahead to everything that's been planned out, you know, so much time has passed. And I've been telling myself all summer long, especially with hockey, because hockey stopped and started. At least with baseball and football, they hadn't started yet. But with hockey, I've been telling myself, yeah, you know, I think somebody on Twitter used the phrase dollar store sham season. Like, and the same with the NBA. Like, is this really, like, are we going to really treat this like it's anything but an absurdity, like to take 4 months off in the middle of the season or toward the end of the season, then come back and have this isolated, in the literal and figurative sense, this isolated tournament and treat it like it's the actual Stanley Cup and the actual World Series and the playoffs. And I've been poo-pooing it. Like, I've been poo-pooing it. Like, ah, whatever, man. I can't even get excited about this. I've been telling myself that when there was nothing on the horizon. Then the Major League Baseball schedule came out. What was the first thing I do? Immediately texted all my buddies. Hey, we got a schedule on our text thread, my buddies and I have. And we're talking about the schedule. And then same with hockey. Like, oh, God, we're going to pretend like this is a thing. Like, really? I'm not even sure I want the Lightning to win the cup, I said, because it would be like wasting a cup win in a season where it's not even real. And then what happened? The NHL put out their schedule and had the color graphics, and it shows all the games. And I just immediately started, the blood started flowing. So I think what's going to happen, and we won't know until it happens, but I think what's going to happen is, you know, all this stuff seems so far away. It seems so absurd that they would even try it. It seemed like a mirage in what has been a long COVID desert since the middle of March. and it didn't seem real. But I think when it actually becomes real, if it becomes real, and again, we're not there yet, but when it does, I think I'm going to get really, really, like, even more into it than usual. Just because of, you know, first of all, the desperation, and second of all, never really having thought it was going to happen in the back of your mind. So then when you're confronted with the reality of it, and I know a lot of people have opinions one way or the other if they should even be doing these things, there are ethical concerns about the resources required to do these and if those resources could be better used elsewhere. And, you know, we could get into that on future shows here coming up. You could always email me. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. And it doesn't have to be a political thing, but I mean, there are questions about, you know, how much of this should be done. But I'll tell you this much. I will say this, you know, it's easy to make fun. It's easy, like a college football, for example, and we are seeing it, we haven't seen it in the NFL yet, and they're meeting about these things right now, but college football has had tangible announcements about cancellations of entire fall sports schedules, which none of the big boys have done yet, but you know, the Patriot League, I think, was one that did that, and there's been a few other ones. The Ivy League did it. And I think the MEAC is having a meeting today. I'm recording this on Thursday the 16th, right around midday noon. So, you know, anything you hear after this won't be on the show. But my point is, like, college football, you've already started to see cancellations. And even at the biggest levels, the Power 5 guys, you know, they're saying, oh, we're going to play conference games only. They're starting to make all these little adjustments to things. We haven't seen any of that in the NFL. And again, it's easy to make fun of them. I've heard people cracking jokes about college football, saying, oh, well, I guess the virus can only spread via non-conference games. Good for you guys for figuring that out, like making fun of them for saying, oh, we're not going to play conference games, we'll still play conference games. Look, I get it. It sounds silly. You know, if Florida State can play Boston College in an ACC game, why can't they play the Gators, who are an hour and 15 minutes down the road? I understand, but you have to understand, okay? They're just trying to make something happen here. Because if you want, and maybe you do, maybe you want them to just go out and say, yeah, we're canceling it. But a lot of y'all making jokes, like, what do you want them to do? Because right now they're doing things as incrementally as possible, and I have a feeling, and I hope I'm wrong, I'm worried that those increments will eventually lead to full cancellation. But would you want them to just go out and say that right now? Like, yep, we're canceling everything. Or would you rather them at least try any damn thing they can think of to just make something happen? Because I'm a can-do guy, personally. I'm always the guy that wants to figure out how or why something can happen, not always be the first guy to say, ah, this is dumb. I mean, you shouldn't go into the comments section of anything on the internet, or whether it's Twitter or Facebook or whatever. But anytime there's an article posted somewhere, oh, you know, the Big Ten plans on playing conference games only. So-and-so is going to have football, but they're going to have special face masks, and, you know, they don't help transmit the, all these different things. And people, there's always somebody right there, oh, this is so stupid, just cancel it already. Why? Why not look at every possible avenue, and then as you progress closer to your timelines, if you're unable to get it done, then okay, you say, okay, we could get it done. But you don't have to say that before the fact, before it's too soon. Let things play out as much as you can. Now, obviously, we didn't want to be in this position. I remember thinking back in March, and maybe you thought this too, you know, what was that night? It was the night Rudy Gobert, the NBA player, tested positive, and they ran out on the court, and they, like, stopped the game and warm-ups, or it was right when the game was getting underway, whatever it was. That was the night it all changed, because that night, they shut it all down, and it hasn't been back to normal since. I can't remember what, it was March 15th or something like that. So I remember thinking back then, of course, in the ensuing days and then weeks, everything started to fall by the wayside. It was like, wow, are they really going to, like, play the NCAA tournament with no fans? That sucks for the Tampa people. We had a regional. Oh, wait, now it's just canceled. Oh, wait, now the entire tournament's canceled. Man, this sucks. Oh, wait, baseball's going to have to delay. Oh, wait, the hockey playoffs. I mean, all these things, the Masters, the Kentucky Derby, they all went and fell by the wayside, right? So I remember thinking back then, man, you know, this really, really sucks, but at least the timing of it sports-wise could have been worse. I said, imagine if this had happened even a month before, or a month and a half before. What if this had happened like 10 days before the Super Bowl? You know, all these things. What if it had affected football? I said, at least now we're getting this out of the way right as the football offseason's getting underway, and at least it's not going to affect football. Like, it, if anything else, just heaven protect football, you know? Whatever it takes. And I was thinking, well, hey, this sucks, but at least it's in March, and by the time we get to September, I was like, oh boy, the NFL's got to be definitely, you know, wiping the sweat off their brow right now. What a relief. You know, they're doing that thing where you, you know, use your index finger to pull your collar away from your neck. Like, whoo, dodged a bullet there. Thinking that in no way would we still be dealing with this in August or September. And yet here we are. And I think a lot of the NFL folks felt that way too, because they had nothing but time on their side back then. And now here we are with training camp knocking on the door, and it doesn't seem like everybody's ready. And I'm not blaming. I mean, how could you be ready? You know, we as a nation have not been ready for this, and we have not proven ourselves up for this. And again, I'm not, I'll keep it to myself. You can keep it to yourself if you want, why you think that is. But the point is, we haven't gotten it done. And just like, who was it that said it? I can't remember who said it. Somebody a few weeks ago, you know, sports are the reward for a functioning society, and we're not functioning well right now. You know, we failed to keep this under control. Other countries have kept it under control, and they're starting to get things slowly back into the groove. They're starting to have not just sporting events, but even some crowds at sporting events. And I hope we're close to that. And you know, maybe we are. There's no way to tell for sure, just like there was no way to tell for sure back in March, you know, this was all going to unfold. But obviously, and you know this, you don't need me to tell you this, I'm not breaking any news on the free stretch today. The possibility that there's no football is very real. And I'm already, I mean, we already lost WrestleMania here in Tampa. We have the Super Bowl this year. I can't imagine at this point there'd be a normal Super Bowl, like with fans and all that stuff. So is there any point in having the Super Bowl here? If that's the case, would you even want to waste hosting a Super Bowl on a year like this? I would not. And if you're going to play in front of no fans and in front of no anything anyway, you really could have the Super Bowl almost anywhere. I mean, it's way too far in the future to tell what's going to happen with that. We don't even know what's going to happen with the first preseason game, which is supposed to be a little over or less than a month. But my point is, like, these are all things that are not as far away as it feels like, and these are all things that we have signs pointing toward already that tell us they're not going to happen, at least not the way we want them to. And, you know, the reason we got the Super Bowl was because, remember, Los Angeles had delays in their stadium construction, and it's still going to be ready by this year, but what's the key with the Super Bowl? The NFL never wants to hold the Super Bowl in a stadium in its first year. They like to have a season in that stadium under its belt, all the potential pitfalls there are, all the potential kinks, broadcasting, wiring, cables, just all the just myriad things that go into putting on a telecast and a production and an event like the Super Bowl. They don't want it to be in the first season. So when LA had those construction delays due to all the rain they were getting at one point a couple years ago that made it so that they were going to open their stadium this year. Remember, they were supposed to open their stadium last year and then host a Super Bowl this season. Now they're opening their stadium this season, and they're hosting the Super Bowl next season. But I'm thinking, if the season doesn't happen the way it's supposed to, or at all, then not only does our Super Bowl get bumped, but wouldn't there, and the same goes for Vegas, who is scheduled to host an upcoming Super Bowl. All these teams that were supposed to be in their second year in a stadium are now going to be in their first, so they're still going to need a stopgap filler. So I think Tampa could host next year or the year after just as easily as this year, because LA and Las Vegas are getting bumped back with their new stadiums in the same manner. So hopefully that is what happened. I mean, not hopefully everything's normal, but I'm kind of already in the back of my mind ruling that out. So if we're going to have all these things happen, like I said, we already lost WrestleMania. It'd be a real bummer to just have WrestleMania and the Tampa Super Bowl either be completely canceled, like in WrestleMania's place, or be a not real Super Bowl, a faux Super Bowl, which I don't want to bother with. And so I don't know, man. It's a bummer, but like I said, you can make fun of these leagues and these people that just make an announcement at the latest possible time, doing the least disruptive possible thing, and wait until they have to cancel it till they cancel it. But I'd rather them do that than just outright cancel things way in advance, even if that's eventually what happens. So, okay, you want to play only conference games? Well, that's better than nothing. Maybe they'll be able to do that, or maybe then we'll get another announcement that now we're only going to play five games. Well, if you're going to play five, you can either play or you can't. And especially with college, I think it's a real hard lift to convince people that it's okay to do that, again, with the resources it would take. And since they're not getting paid, at least the NFL guys are getting paid. And the NFL guys, even the ones that are getting paid, don't necessarily want to do this. People are jumping all down Donovan Smith's throat. You know, last Friday he put an Instagram post out, and Donovan Smith is skeptical about playing this season. This is the Bucs' starting right tackle, and some people still have their brains turned on to 100% football. Like, oh man, what are we gonna do without our right tackle? Left tackle, not right tackle. What are we gonna do without our left tackle, dude? I can't believe this guy. And like, if you go to the responses on his Twitter or Instagram, he posted the thing on Instagram, then people are just jumping all over him. Here's what he said. He's not, you know, obviously feeling this whole COVID thing. He said, risking my health as well as my family's health does not seem like a risk worth taking by playing during the coronavirus pandemic. He went on to say, the unfortunate events of the COVID-19 pandemic have put a halt to a lot of things. To continue discussing the many unknowns do not give me comfort. Risking my health as well as my family's health does not seem like a risk worth taking. With my first child due in 3 weeks, as first child's due in a few weeks, I can't help but think about how I'll be able to go to work and take proper precautions around 80 plus people every day to then go home to be with my newborn daughter. How can a sport that requires physical contact on every snap and transferal of all types of bodily fluid, I wouldn't say all types of bodily fluid, but yes, I get his point, every single play, practice safe social distancing? How can I make sure that I don't bring COVID-19 back to my household? Yes, we can get tested every day, but if it takes 24 hours to get my results, how can I know each day that I'm not going to be spreading the virus or contracting it? I went on a little bit longer than that, but that's the whole gist of it. Now, listen, this is a personal thing for everybody, and not just athletes. I mean, I got two kids in the public school system, and if you have kids in the and the private schools are dealing with it too, but if you have kids that are school age right now, everybody's grappling with, do our kids go back to school? Should we really be doing this? Everybody obviously wants that, but it's not as easy as just wanting it. So, everybody's got to make a decision. No, we're going to keep them home. We'll figure out the virtual learning or the e-learning if we have to. Or some people are like, yo, no, it's fine with me. I'll go. We'll send them. It's all good. And again, every family that's different for every teacher and every staff member too. And it's the same with football players. And I think no matter what your opinion on it is, I think there's only one right answer with this stuff. If somebody, whether it's a player on your favorite team or another player on a different team or in a different sport, whatever it is, it's really just, hey, man, best of luck, whatever you think is best for you and your family, dude. Like, that's really all you need to say. Like, you don't need to, obviously, I don't want to see in the first season with Tom Brady and we got Rob Gronkowski and we got Donovan Smith protecting Brady on the back end. I mean, obviously we don't want to see us lose one of those guys like that. But again, I'm not even there in my brain. All I'm there is imagining the Bucs playing at all. And if I told you right now that the Bucs will be playing football this season without Donovan Smith at left tackle, wouldn't you all just take that after I stopped at the Bucs will be playing football part? Like, I that part I still haven't wrapped my head around. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. So, and again, it's the internet. There's always trolls and there's always people like that that are going to, say things. But and here's the other thing to remember. Like, the people say, oh, they're young athletes, they're healthy. They don't have they're the last people to have anything to worry about. Yeah, a lot of people are getting COVID and feeling nothing and experiencing nothing, and they're fine. I mean, hell, you may have had it already. I may have had it already. I may have it right now. I haven't felt anything at all, feel completely normal, but there's no way to know for sure. And that's fine. But the point, especially with football, just because they're athletes, I mean, if you're a big guy like Donovan Smith or any of these linemen, I mean, not that they're not healthy, because even the fat boys you see out there are plenty athletic and healthy, or they wouldn't be there. But still, that's a little bit different risk level to me than, a 6 foot, 205-pound wide receiver. I wouldn't want to be a 300-plus-pound guy or a 350-plus-pound guy and mess around with this. I mean, I don't want it, period, but I certainly wouldn't. I'd be even more concerned about it if I was built like an offensive lineman. So I totally get that. But even if you don't get it, this is not the time to be calling guys out for not wanting to play. I mean, if it was me, yeah, I'd play if they asked me to. I wouldn't be that worried about it. But that's not meaning that I think other people should be judged if they feel differently. So, again, we're still at the part where I'm worried about there being anything at all. Just at all. And I think hockey and baseball, or excuse me, hockey and basketball can pull it off if they can get to the bubble, because they're in bubbles. And not that these things are scientifically like perfect or airtight, can't fail bubbles, but you know, when you have everybody in one place and you have all the testing and you have people not interacting with other people. See, in baseball, they're gonna be flying all over the country. They're still gonna be interacting with their families and various other people who are not subject to anything relating to their bubbles. And that's a completely different thing than what you've got with the NBA and the NHL. Not that I'm saying those are foolproof either, but I think they have a better chance. If they can just get to the beginning of these, and you know, hockey's is in 3 weeks, the NBA's coming up soon. Maybe you've seen some of the pictures of the NBA where they got the hotel ballroom with all the practice courts lined up. Hey, if they can pull it off, if they can get it going, I think they can keep it going. It's getting it going. Whereas I think it's going to be a lot harder to get it going, and there's a lot more risk involved in keeping it going with baseball, and if it gets to that point, football. So time will tell. They are getting the stadium ready, okay? This is actually, I want to talk about this on the show because Raymond James Stadium has been granted $10,465,000 in money for COVID improvements, basically to outfit the stadium to be able to host events in a manner that is supposedly more conducive to, you know, less possibility for transfer. So what does that mean? This is $10 million for this stadium for games that I still can't imagine. Like, I think they're anticipating, or at least they're pretending to anticipate, having games with people this season, whether it's reduced capacity or whatever. And so here's what they're talking about doing. There's three phases to this thing. Phase one is supposed to be completed by the end of October. Crews will install portable hand washing stations in stadium parking lots, gates, the plaza, and concourses. Phase two is going to include press box modifications that include adding more space, building out temporary media spaces elsewhere in the stadium so that everybody can cover the game but still not get too close together. Everybody can stay far enough apart. Phase three will see a rebuild, whatever this means, of all entry gates to include canopies and more space for fans as they enter the stadium. And they've got, let me give you some numbers about what this stuff costs. Because to me, this sounds like fluff. Not all of it. Some of it is good. I'll break it down here in a second. But this sounds like, hey, let's line some people's pockets. Let's get some contractors paid for stuff that really doesn't matter and is more window dressing than anything actually helpful. So here's some of the breakdowns for the money. And now I'm quoting an article by Greg Allman in The Athletic, who did a great job breaking all this down. He says, many of the proposed changes pertain, and this is Raymond James Stadium, for both Bucks and USF games, at least supposedly. Many of the proposed changes pertain to the stadium's parking lots and entry points, limiting interaction between staff and fans as they park and enter the stadium for games. New touchless ticket scanners come in at $502,475, $500,000 for touchless ticket scanners that will, quote, both reduce the number of staff required and the proximity of which that staff must stand to the attendees to scan their tickets. Now, I don't know what this means because I've been to games, obviously, recently, as many of you probably have, not just Bucks games, but anywhere. And I thought we already had touchless ticket scanners. They have the thing with the barcode where you hold your ticket out. And I guess the ticket taker could take the ticket from you and do it themselves. But if you want to do social distancing, you hold the ticket out with the barcode exposed. They point the little laser at it and they scan it. I thought we already had, I don't understand what touchless ticket scanners are supposed to mean that's different than what we already had or better. Unless they're higher powered so they can stand further away. Like, you know how you go to some grocery stores and if you don't get that, you ever go to the self-checkout or, you know, whether it's Walmart or Target or wherever you want to shop? Because I always do self-checkout if I can. I don't want to deal with that. Not that I don't like people, but I just, it's right there. It's no line. And you know how some of them, like, you have to like get the barcode perfectly aligned on top of that little pad or it won't scan it. And then other ones, you can wave the thing like 20 feet away and it still picks up the barcode somehow. I have no idea how it does it. Maybe they're talking about these are the type that, you know, can pick the thing up from another zip code. And so the person scanning the ticket doesn't have to stand as close. That's all I can think of. I don't know. But I thought we already had that. Anyway, that's $500,000 right there. So congrats to whoever makes the touchless ticket scanners for a nice contract there. To help facilitate staggered entry into the stadium, kind of like, I guess, Southwest Airlines boarding where you have Group A, Group B, Group C, that type of thing, to keep everybody from crowding in at once. To help facilitate that, a new public address system is going to go up in the parking lot. That comes in at $250,000. That'll make announcements to fans on which groups can come to which gates and when. I don't know. I mean, I don't think you'd need something way out in the parking lot for that. You could have that announcement made. I mean, nobody's going to be out in the parking lot tailgating. I think that's part of the reason that we don't want people up. Anyway, point is $250,000 for that. The parking lots will have a touchless entry system. I don't even know what that means. I've never touched anything when I've parked a car at Raymond James Stadium. $125,000 for shade canopies to protect those in inclement weather that are stuck out in the parking lot and not allowed to come in the game yet. Okay. $225,000 in stanchions and barriers to set up queuing inside the stadium for escalators, ATMs, and other areas. $50,000 for cones, 6,600 cones to mark off parking spaces in the unlined grass lots. I mean, they usually have a like yard line painter. I've seen them paint white lines out there, but I guess if you want to throw $50,000 at cones, by the way, that comes in for 6,600 cones. That comes in at, I'm looking at the math right here, $7.58 a cone. I looked it up. There are additional upgrades to the stadium with an eye on having more touch-free amenities. Now, this part is good. This part, see, all these other things are just wastes of money on things we may never even need because COVID, you know, is going to either cancel the season or be gone and we can play next season. I have a hard time believing that we actually need the stuff I've already mentioned. The stuff I'm mentioning now also is mega expensive, but at least it's stuff that we should have anyway. So $425,000 is going to convert the stadium to touch-free toilets. Now, you shouldn't be touching the toilet. I don't know who you people are, okay? I guess it's tougher with the urinals because it's up high, and not everybody is as athletic as I am or as flexible as I am. But even the urinals, which are way up high, like shoulder height for the handle, I will never touch one of those. Either pee and get out of there and just leave it in there. I'm not going to be bothered if I'm behind you. Some people would be. Or if you need to flush, I flush those things with my shoe. And I can get up there, baby. I can get up to almost 6 feet high with my foot and flush it. But I see people like go in the men's bathroom and take a whiz. And with their bare hand, they just, boom, they just pump that handle. Are you kidding? And I'm not a germaphobe at all, but I never touch those things. And of course, the toilets, which are down lower, those are easy to do with your foot. I can't imagine anybody's touching those. But no one should have to make that decision anyway. So I completely endorse $425,000 here to convert the stadium to touch-free toilets. In fact, you should not have to touch anything when going to the bathroom, ever. And that is what they're working toward here. In addition to the money for the touch-free toilets, $263,000 for touch-free faucets on all sinks. And $100,000 for touch-free soap and paper towel dispensers. So if you add all that up, that's roughly $900,000, a little over $800,000, for completely touch-free bathroom experiences, which, again, I would have thought we'd already had and should already have. And if something's not touch-free, I make it touch-free when it comes to bathrooms because you can flush the toilet with your foot. You can either... And I know people say it's gross not to wash your hands, but it's way more gross to touch any... I mean, if you just... Listen, I'll level with all y'all, okay? And you can judge me if you want to. One thing I've never done is lie to you guys that listen to this show. When I go to the bathroom in a public place like that, I hook my thumb around the waistband of my shorts or pants, pull them down and go, and then I put them back up. I never touch anything, either on myself or on the toilet, or fixture or whatever it is that would be dirty, and I walk out of there and I don't wash my hands. And I think that's actually less likely to get germs on me than if I went through the whole process of touching everything, including the faucet. I mean, even if you wash your hands, you got to turn the faucet handle off, and there's probably more stuff on that than anything else. So a lot of times I don't wash my hands when I go to the bathroom in those places because I don't touch anything. I've been practicing touchless bathroom procedures for a long time now. But I'm glad they're making it possible for everybody else to do that too. for under $1 million. So this is fine. Do this definitely and keep it that way, you know, long after COVID is a thing of the past. Here's one that kind of caught my eye, though. $50,000 for temporarily out-of-service covers to place on the sinks, urinals, and paper towel dispensers. So I guess instead of having every sink in use, like every other sink, they'll cover up and close it so that you're not right next to people. But $50,000 for covers. And I will tell you right now, Tampa Sports Authority, Rob Higgins, or whoever's in charge of this over there, for $10,000, not even $50,000, I will sit with my kids' construction paper, some masking tape, and some markers, and I will make temporarily out-of-service signs and post them on each one of the fixtures in Raymond James Stadium that you want to close, and all you have to do is pay me $10,000. I'll do it myself. $50,000. I looked it up because I was curious. Raymond James Stadium has 88 public restrooms. There are 10 family restrooms. In addition to that, there are 1,003 fixtures. Now, I'm not a hardware guy or a construction guy, so I don't know what they mean by fixtures. Is that just sinks? Is that toilets and what counts as a fixture? They can't have more than 1,000 sinks in that place. I think this counts more than that. So even if that was 1,000, I'll do all 1,000 myself for $10,000. That comes out to $10 a sign, which, again, yeah, I'll even do it up nice. If you want me to use, look, I got the flimsy construction paper in my kids' playroom on their desk, okay? I'll go over to Office Depot and buy the good stuff, the real thick stock. I'll even do that, and I won't charge you anything extra. $10,000 flat rate. I will mark off very clearly with signage, and I'll actually walk to every sink and put them up, too, so you don't even have to do that. They're just charging you $50,000 for the covers. I'll put the covers up, too, and I'll make them myself for $10,000. Because that is unbelievable. You know, we've all been to, like, fancy hotels and stuff where if they close something, yeah, it's like a velvet thing on top of it with a nice looking, I know they want to class it up. And then you go to some dive bar and there's like a piece of 8.5 by 11, you know, wide ruled paper they got out of a notebook. And then the manager like used a Sharpie to write out of order on it. I'll meet you in the middle of those two things, okay? So I'll save you money, but I'll still keep it classy enough to where you're not dealing with $50,000 to close a few sinks. That part's absurd. Anyway, the stadium would also add another $480,000 in portable wash stations, like I mentioned before, parking lots, gates, plazas, and concourses, $80,000 in portable hand sanitizer stations. Why not just make them all hand sanitizer stations if the portable wash stations cost more? $30,000 in wall-mounted sanitizer stations, and another $300,000 in sanitation, disinfectant, and hand sanitizer supplies. Again, a lot of this seems like safety theater to me, and a lot of it seems like unrealistic needs because, again, I have a feeling that we're not doing this to begin with. And, you know, I don't know how that works if they're going to spend the money before the decision gets made to play. I mean, what if we buy all these things and then, oh, we're just canceling the season outright anyway? I'm not clear on how that works, so I won't try to comment on it. But either way, I don't know, man. I just don't know. And so, let's put it this way, like I said before, if we're actually doing these things, I guess that means there's football of some kind. Very frustrating year to have the Bucks with this dream offseason. Like I said, I mean, has a team ever had a better month than the Bucks had a few months ago when they first of all changed their uniforms, which alone would have been one of the better offseasons in recent Bucks memory? But they finally fixed that whole thing. Oh, and not only on top of that, hey, we're getting Tom Brady too. Oh, and by the way, Gronkowski's coming out of retirement. He's going to play with him. I don't know how good all these guys are going to be, but just the excitement level. Oh, and by the way, we got a great draft. This guy we wanted, Tristan Wirfs. We didn't think he'd fall to 14. We traded up one spot and gave up a fourth rounder, but whatever. We got him. Oh, I mean, everything was just coming up Buccaneer for a while there. And now we'll be lucky if there's football at all. Oh, yeah, we're supposed to host the Super Bowl too. Bad year for it all to happen. Not that there would ever be a good year for any of this to happen. Anyway, email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at bobbygameday. If you want to talk about actual football things, I guess one of the good things is Shaq Barrett signed his franchise tender. So, okay, that's good. Again, it feels hard to get excited about stuff like that when it doesn't feel like there's going to be a season. But in the event that there is, that is good news. I've been seeing, I'm not going creeper here or anything, but I actually have seen Jameis Winston and DeSean Jackson working out. They've been going through their stuff. Of course, you've seen all with Brady and the Bucs offense working out at Berkeley Prep. There's people around here all over. I think Jalen Hurts is in town working out somewhere too. A lot of guys are around getting their workouts in at various fields. One of the fields that Jameis was using with DeSean Jackson was on a route that I was driving to take my son to camp, and I was seeing him every morning, not realizing at first it was them out there. And then after I saw something on Twitter, I was like, oh, yeah, that was Jameis out there. And they've been – so there's football things going on. And, you know, the only thing I can tell you, if you really want this to happen, and again, without getting political, so I don't anger some of you, not that this should anger anybody, but if you really want this to happen, just do your part. You know, wear the masks in public. Try to limit unnecessary contact in any way. And I haven't been perfect with it, admittedly. But, you know, just do the little things, the things that we know help and that come at no cost. And it really does not come at any cost to wear a mask out in public or anything like that, if you're in indoors public spaces at least. And just do those things and hope that it gets under control enough to where we can actually pursue these things that are being talked about realistically, because there's still a little bit of time before the hard decisions have to be made, but it's coming up, and it's coming up very soon. So I'll be back. There's more things I want to get to. You know, I'll be back next week, and we'll try and get back into a rhythm here. One thing I definitely want to talk about is the fake TV crowd noise they're talking about doing for some of these things. And I don't know if the NFL, you know, we don't know all this stuff yet, but I know the Rays are testing it out, and MLB, and I'm vehemently against it. We'll talk more about that next week. This whole Redskins thing, there's supposed to be some major news. I didn't even talk about the Redskins name change, which I will talk about next week. But beyond that, there's supposed to be huge news about the Redskins organization, a big expose coming out that is not going to be very good, and it's got nothing to do with the name change, but a real bad culture over there. By the time you listen to this, it probably will have come out, so I'll talk about it next week and all those things. I want to thank our sponsors over at Bill Curry Ford. Let me tell you, you know, with everything going on right now, Bill Curry Ford, they've been on top of it because they've got all kinds of options for you. You don't have to do anything in person. If you're thinking about buying a car, just like I just said, do your part. You can shop in person, and their dealership is sanitized every day. The big showroom's got plenty of social distancing, the lot too. You can even schedule a one-on-one appointment during after hours. You can even, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, okay, go to BillCurryFord.com. And you can test drive, you can look at the website, just all the inventories on the website, BillCurryFord.com, it's C-U-R-R-I-E. Go there, check that out, you like what you see, they will give the car, they'll bring it to you at your house or office or wherever you want to be, and you can test drive it there if you don't want to go to the dealership. You can do that, and if you buy it, they'll give you free vehicle delivery to your door as well, and that's on top of what has always been the case, is the nationwide lifetime guarantee. You buy a car at Bill Curry Ford, you are taken care of for as long as you own the vehicle, as long as you still own the vehicle. Engine trouble, things like that, you can bring it in. It could be 3 years from now, 5 years from now. If you're the original, still the one that owns it after buying it from Bill Curry Ford, you get to get it taken care of. You get roadside assistance for 10 years. All those things, free maintenance the first year. All those things have always been the case and continue to be at Bill Curry Ford. Check them out a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, or go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. So with that, folks, I want to say thanks to everybody. First of all, thanks to everybody who came back to the show after I took so much time between shows. I hope that it wasn't too much of an issue. And again, we're going to get back into the routine here. And this show, listen, this show is going to be, it's obviously a Bucs show. We're here on JoeBucsFan.com. But now that things are starting up, you know, we'll talk about the Lightning playoff race. Or it's not a race anymore, they're in the playoffs. We'll talk about the Rays season. This will be not just a Bucs show, but an all-encompassing Tampa sports show. As long as we've got Tampa sports going on, which again, we have a chance at least to have all three going here coming up. And if that comes to pass, I'll be a very happy camper. I think you guys will be too. In the meantime, thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform on the best place anywhere for Bucs coverage. I'm Bobby Fenton. That's the Free Stretch for mid-July. I'll be back next week. In the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucs.